At the Big M. One of the few places we know of in this country that celebrates Christmas in colonial tradition, which is very much like British tradition, of course, is Williamsburg, Virginia. Participants of the celebration wear colonial costumes and they play musical instruments of the period, and they have a big Yule log and so forth. In a few minutes, Dick Van Dyke will talk about spending this Christmas in England. I am fortunate I will be here in grimy New York. Wherever you are, you must agree with this song, We Need a Little Christmas. It's by Judas La Rosa.
Call out the holly, put up the tree before my spirit falls again. The stocking, you may be rushing things, but check the halls again now.
And his family are spending several months in England. He's appearing in a musical over there. Over here, Dick's new movie, Fitzwillie, just opened. Monitor reporter John Cannon visited with the Van Dykes at their country home in Denby, England, and he talks with Dick about how he'll spend Christmas.
Dick, before we talk about this current Christmas and this very special Christmas for you, what about the old Christmases in Danville, Illinois? What are your most fond memories?
Well, very fond, of course, because in Illinois we always had bitterly cold winters and invariably had a good snow at Christmas time, which living in California for the last 7 years is what I've missed the most. And I think every Californian who's from some other part of the country misses it too.
The Christmases at the Van Dyke household in Danville, Illinois, were you kind of a singing family, you know? Did you go in for all the old traditions?
Well, the family didn't sing. Well, my mother used to play the piano and we'd sing on Christmas Eve, but I usually went out with a bunch of the youth choir from the church, and we'd go around the whole neighborhood, you know, caroling, which was a lot of fun. There's not too much of that in California either. Very seldom you have carolers on the street, which is one of the great things about Christmas Eve to me.
Do you remember from your youth one gift that you received as a boy that just thrilled you, you know, and you'll never forget?
Absolutely. When I was a boy, from 10 to 14, I was a fanatic magician. I belonged to a magic club, and I was the only kid in it, the rest were men, and I'd practice in front of the mirror for hours, and there was a certain magic set I wanted, quite an elaborate affair, and I got it for Christmas, and I recall that present more than any other, because it kept me busy for the next year trying to learn the tricks.
Well, do you think that sometimes in America we go a little too materialistic with Christmas? You know, we shop too much and think too much about what we're going to get.
I think that we get worse every year. Business Christmas giving is what really aggravates me. It's become mandatory to go out and shop and buy all your business friends or your customers or whoever, which really is commercialized just about as far as it can go.
What about Christmas here in England? How do you feel about it here? This is different, isn't it? I mean,
different, but I'm looking forward to it. I can't think of a more traditional Christmas than one in, you know, jolly old England.
It's very Dickensian, isn't it?
Yes.
Is it?
Yeah, if I could just get Bob Cratchit to come to dinner.
Here, the house you're in Denham, which is, we'll explain, is west of London, and this is the English countryside.
It couldn't be a more perfect setting for Christmas.
This will be a real different occasion for the family, won't it?
Yes, it will, very much. You know, the thing that surprised me, they tell me that they get very little snow here in the winter. And for some reason, I imagine England is being blanketed in snow in the wintertime. But it's rare. So if we can just get a little snow for Christmas...
You get a little rain here, though.
A little rain?
Dick, you're a very religious person. Have you ever gone out on one of these take care of the poor, the underprivileged type of Christmas missions?
Well, when I was younger, we used to do that in Danville. Now, I usually go to places like boys' homes for, you know, probationary office boys or girls or something like that. And there they have a Christmas dinner, usually, sometime during the week before Christmas. So I go there and have dinner with them, and they usually speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some kind of a Christmas message.
Well, this holiday season, all of us in Mama Dear wish you and Mrs. Van Dyke and the children a very Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you. The same from us to you.
This is John Cannon from England for Mama Dear.
People often wonder about people in show business who play nice guys, whether they really are nice guys. And because it's Christmas time, I'll tell you about one who really is. Dick Van Dyke. Well, it's time to sing a little. We're going to do it with Larry Wagner's Orca and Chorus.
Merry Christmas.
At 16 minutes past the hour, you're on the Monitor Beacon. New this season by Jerry Vale. Of the U.S. Air Force watches the skies and mans some 30 radar stations. This Christmas weekend, Monitor's talking with some of the men who are on duty in some of the bleakest and most forbidding territory on Earth. And on our open line right now is Airman First Class Gary Anderson of Madison, Wisconsin. Hi, Gary, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, Mr. Morgan.
You could call me Henry because it's Christmas, and besides, I'm not in the service anymore.
Okay.
How are you?
Just fine, sir.
Tell me this. The weather there, to our knowledge, usually is goes from 50 below to 50 above. What is it now?
It's a plus 7 now, sir, with 8 to 10 knot winds.
Plus 7?
Which would actually make it a minus 15.
Oh, because of the wind. Yeah, that sounds just adorable. Are you married?
No, sir.
What do you, you have much of a family at home?
I'm the only son. I have a mother and father living in Oregon, Wisconsin.
Uh-huh. And what do you suppose your Christmas is going to be like?
Well, there's quite a few parties going on up here between the Danish civilians and the military personnel on base, helping to promote some relationship there. And we're throwing some parties to help out the Danish orphan children and other little parties around the base.
That's right. We sort of lease that from Greenland, don't we?
Right.
Yeah. You know, I was at Sunderstrom briefly, and I got to sympathize with you. That is one of the bleakest places on our Earth, isn't it? Hello?
Yes, sir.
Oh, well, never mind. I asked sort of a rhetorical question. Well, you do listen to Monitor occasionally, don't you?
I sure do, sir.
Well, good. We hope you have as merry a Christmas as you can under the circumstances. And I've met some of the Danish civilians you talked about. I can't think of a name to save my head right now. please do a general hello and Merry Christmas for me?
I sure will, sir, and the same to you.
Thanks very much. Nice to have spoken with you. Bye.
Bye, sir.
Well, our thanks to everybody up there. Monitor's open line has been talking with Airman First Class Gary Anderson in Sundastrom, Greenland, which is called Greenland for some reason nobody's ever figured out. It is not. It is white. Later, we'll be calling another outpost along the Dew Line in truly Greenland. All right, here's a song of the season by Lena Horne. Have yourself a merry, but look, be wary. The National Safety Council reminds you, watch out for all vehicles ahead, alongside, behind your car. You've got to watch out for impatient and thoughtless drivers who make sudden moves without warning. Check the outside and inside mirrors every couple of seconds. Get the whole picture. Be sure that your driving is such that your car is not the one the others have to watch out for. Al Caiola's guitar, Riz Ortolani's orchestra. It's Christmassy around Monitor. In central Pennsylvania, you've joined us on WRAK Williamsport. H. Morgan back shortly.
Happy little week. Have some fun. Bring that time. It's Christmas time. And Saturday afternoon quarterbacks, take note. Join Lou Boda and George Ratterman for the East-West Football Classic next Saturday here on NBC Radio. Here's an old friend.
This is Bob, NBC Hope. NBC, that's no Bing Crosby, hoping that nothing is stirring all through your house this holiday season, but happiness and good health. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you all.
May we say Merry Christmas to Bob's family, who are again without him at Christmas because of his devoted interest in entertaining the troops in Vietnam. This is Morgan for Monitor. Here's Dino. NBC correspondents. Here's a report from Bernard Frizzell, NBC News, Rome.
Christmas in Italy was never like this. Once upon a time, it was a quiet family affair, a religious occasion. It celebrated the birth of Jesus with a creche in the home, a mass in church, and a family dinner. There was no Christmas tree, and there was no general distribution of presents. The gifts were reserved for the day of Epiphany on January the 6th. But with the economic boom in Italy in the 60s and the Americanization of this country, beginning with the introduction of the automobile economy, all that changed. Christmas has become commercialized. In the past 6 or 7 years, Christmas in Italy has been transformed. Years ago, one could walk through the streets of Rome at Christmas time and see little difference from any other period of the year. But today, the streets are illuminated with special Christmas lights and decorations. There is a festive air about the city. Christmas trees are in the homes. The shops are doing a fantastic business. And people are seen in the streets carrying gaily wrapped gifts for those dear to them or to the toward whom there are obligations. To be sure, for many thousands in this city of churches, where the headquarters of Roman Catholicism has its seat, Christmas remains, despite its newly acquired material aspect, a religious occasion. Midnight Mass is being celebrated throughout the city tonight, and the most solemn and impressive of them all is being celebrated by Pope Paul himself before the diplomatic corps at the Sistine Chapel in the Vatican. Nonetheless, there is less solemnity about Christmas today than there once was in Italy, and there is more gaiety. And the Italians have hardly changed their old habits. The Christmas season lasts right through Epiphany, the 6th of January, and they keep right on giving gifts then, as well as on Christmas Day. This is Bernard Frizzell, NBC News, Rome.
Another's Christmas ring around the world. Another in this weekend series on how the holidays are being celebrated in other countries. This report brought to you by State Farm.
This is Al Capp. From the way State Farm goes on, you'd think our highways are lined with their road signs. Well, there are thousands of them, of course, and each one stands for a State Farm mutual agent who can probably save you quite a few car insurance bucks. But it's still possible, you know, to travel between a couple of major United States cities without ever once passing a State Farm road sign. For instance, how many have you seen between San Francisco and Honolulu?
Brothers Four at 16 minutes before the hour, and you are on the monitor beacon. It's the biggest show on earth, mornings from 5 to 9. The big time, and that's not just big talk, is music, news, and conversation on the Big Wilson Show. Monday through Saturday mornings from 5 to 9 on WNBC. Join me, will you? We'll have more fun than a three-ring circus.
Conversation Station, WNBC, New York.
Well, you know where the Wassail Bowl is. Incidentally, I hope you got my Christmas present by now, Henry. It was specially gift-wrapped for you. It was a skinny little thing. It was Ed Ames' latest recording of a song called Who Will Answer. I know you're going to like that a whole lot. And I want to wish you the very happiest of New Year's, Fink. Oh, wait a minute, Henry. I looked up that word, and I know an intellectual guy like you, one of the world's wisest men, will know what Fink really means. comes from the German. And it means hail fellow well met. Very provocative, debonair type guy. So happy New Year, Fink.
I want to thank you, Gene. I took that wonderful record and I've had it woven into a cape. We know where the Wassail is. It's where you is. And it's where I'm going to be in about 2 hours and 14 minutes, so keep away from the sideboard. Catch you later. Andre Previn's music here, Greensleeves. Absolutely nothing. We heard that the Chicago Athletics have a placard in the lobby, and it says, "Join our fencing club. We need some new blood." Well, it's to the point, anyway. Why? The Letterman here. What can I give you this Christmas?
Bye.
Department a report on an unusual sports photography exhibit. Monitor Sports is brought to you by Lincoln Mercury, home of Better Idea Cars, from the makers of Lincoln Continental.
In just 1 year, more people have switched to Mercury Cougar than any other car in its class. The Big Cat is a roaring success. Who else in its class has a flashing tail that points the direction you're turning? And it's standard. Headlamps that hide by day, shine by night. Standard. A big new V8 growl. Standard. Bucket seats, floor shift, folded rear seat, all standard. Cougar's got more equipment that's standard than any other luxury sports car in its class. The only one built with a fine car touch. Inspired by Lincoln Continental. Now, there are twice as many Cougars to choose from. Mercury's got it. The Big Cat. A roaring success. Get it today at your Mercury dealers.
The Baltimore Museum of Art is currently exhibiting an unusual sports photography show entitled Man and Sports. What's unusual is that originally it was planned as a painting exhibit. A report from the director, artist photographer Robert Rieger, and monitors Jim West.
Bob Rieger, first of all, did you have any difficulty in persuading museum people that Man and Sport would go over?
Jim, this is a switch. I think the great tribute here goes to the Baltimore Museum of Art and the Sporting Arts Committee and the trustees of the museum. It was they who came to me and offered me the honor of doing such an exhibition.
The quality of the work on display here, Bob, indicates a great deal more than artistic skill. Obviously, there's an emotional involvement, not only for you, but the other artists.
Yes, I feel that the intensity in sports was discovered by the camera. I think with greater lenses in the late 50s and the 60s, which revolutionized the photography, this emotional intensity was brought out. People saw more in sports photography. The great photographers saw it, too, and through their different personalities, made very distinguished pictures.
In your exhibit here at the Baltimore Museum of Art, Bob, I noticed that you don't limit yourself necessarily to color photography. Do you find that there are times, perhaps, when black and white is more effective?
There is no question that the picture is most important. The one special great contribution that the museum makes is that this is not the largest photographic exhibit ever held, but one that has more color photographs than ever before. So color naturally dominates this exhibition, which is rare. It will never happen this way before. Even as recently as Expo, which was black and white. So that here, for the first time, black and white photography becomes different. I think for the first time, you see how vital black and white photography is.
Bob, the exhibit is being held in Baltimore, as we've indicated, but it will show in other parts of the country from time to time. And are there any particular photographs in the exhibit that you find elicit the most comment from those viewing it?
The main thing that I had to do, as we all try to do, is develop a show that is overwhelming. I want it to be an overwhelming experience for everyone who saw it. It's a great family show. It will be, I think, for the New Yorkers when they see it in March. And I would like to hear what people think about which picture is better. But I think they've, fortunately, in the opening days, have been coming away loving the entire show as one idea, and that's what I like.
Well, this is a general impression we've gotten, Bob Rieger, and thank you very much for finding the time to join us during this holiday season.
Well, thank you, Jim. I want to wish all of Monitor's listeners I know all the athletes and photographers who cover sports, a very Merry Christmas.
Our thanks to Bob Rieger, and this is Jim West in Baltimore for Monitor Sports.
And if you want to catch all the color of college football, just stay with NBC. On December 30th, the East-West Shrine Game, followed on New Year's Day by the big triple header, the Sugar, Rose, and Orange Bowl games, all on NBC. And now a word about Autolite.
You're listening to a $250,000 experimental car, hand-built by Ford. It's got a $50,000 body, a $10,000 control panel, and a $4 oil filter. An Autolite filter, the same kind you buy. How come a $4 Autolite filter in a $250,000 car because there is no better filter, not at any price. Get an Autolite oil filter for your car, whatever kind you drive.
Frequent sports reports and results when available throughout the weekend on Monitor. Morgan here, and Harry James, Jonah Jones, Louis Armstrong, and lots more live in the New Year's Eve All-Star Parade of Bands right here on NBC Radio.